Rosa Audiobooks presents The Duke and I by Julia Quinn, narrated by Rosalind Landor.
Prologue. The birth of Simon Arthur Henry FitzRanulph Bassett, Earl Cliveden, was met with great celebration. Church bells rang for hours. Champagne flowed freely through the gargantuan castle that the newborn would call home, and the entire village of Cliveden quit work to partake of the feast and holiday ordered by the young earl's father.
"This," the baker said to the blacksmith, "is no ordinary baby."
For Simon Arthur Henry FitzRanulph Bassett would not spend his life as Earl Cliveden. That was a mere courtesy title. Simon Arthur Henry FitzRanulph Bassett, the baby who possessed more names than any baby could possibly need, was the heir to one of England's oldest and richest dukedoms. And his father, the 9th Duke of Hastings, had waited years for this moment. As he stood in the hall, outside his wife's confinement room, cradling the squalling infant, the Duke's heart near burst with pride. Already several years past 40, he had watched his cronies, dukes and earls all, beget heir after heir. Some had had to suffer through a few daughters before siring a precious son, but in the end, they'd all been assured that their lines would continue, that their blood would pass forward into the next generation of England's elite. But not the Duke of Hastings. Though his wife had managed to conceive 5 times in the 15 years of their marriage, only twice had she carried to full term, and both of those infants had been stillborn. After the 5th pregnancy, which had ended with a bloody miscarriage in the 5th month, surgeons and physicians alike had warned their graces that they absolutely must not make another attempt to have a child. The Duchess's very life was in danger. She was too frail, too weak, and, perhaps, they said gently, too old. The Duke was simply going to have to reconcile himself to the fact that the dukedom would pass out of the Bassett family. But the Duchess, God bless her, knew her role in life, and after a 6-month recuperative period, she opened the connecting door between their bedrooms, and the Duke once again commenced his quest for a son. 5 months later, the Duchess informed the Duke that she had conceived. The Duke's immediate elation was tempered by his grim determination that nothing, absolutely nothing, would cause this pregnancy to go awry. The Duchess was confined to her bed the minute it was realised that she'd missed her monthly courses. A physician was brought in to visit her every day, and halfway through the pregnancy, the Duke located the most respected doctor in London and paid him a king's ransom to abandon his practice and take up residence at Cliveden Castle temporarily. The Duke was taking no chances this time. He would have a son, and the dukedom would remain in Bassett hands. The Duchess experienced pains a month early, and pillows were tucked under her hips. Gravity might keep the babe inside, Dr. Stubbs explained. The Duke thought that a sound argument, and, once the doctor had retired for the evening, placed yet another pillow under his wife, raising her to a 20-degree angle. She remained that way for a month. And then, finally, the moment of truth arrived. The household prayed for the Duke, who so wanted an heir, and a few remembered to pray for the Duchess, who had grown thin and frail, even as her belly had grown round and wide. They tried not to be too hopeful. After all, the Duchess had already delivered and buried 2 babes, and even if she did manage to safely deliver a child, it could be, well, a girl. As the Duchess's screams grew louder and more frequent, the Duke shoved his way into her chamber, ignoring the protests of the doctor, the midwife, and her Grace's maid. It was a bloody mess, but the Duke was determined to be present when the babe's sex was revealed. The head appeared, then the shoulders. All leaned forward to watch as the Duchess strained and pushed, and then... And then the Duke knew that there was a God, and he still smiled on the Bassetts. He allowed the midwife 1 minute to clean the babe, then took the little boy into his arms and